Thank God for the city of refuge. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Thank God for Calvary.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yep.
What a joy it is to know because of Calvary. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, there's some things to be said, amen, yet, that Brother Dale didn't say. It just amazes me how when God puts things together, He gives men like minds, amen.
Amen, brother, yeah.
And he's over in Black Creek getting this thing together, and I had put this together early this morning and printed it out before I ever got here, amen. I know he didn't see my notes, amen.
Right.
God's got a thing here, amen.
I'm sure He does.
I like it that we get to be on the train.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. If we can just stay on the train, everything will be all right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at a few verses. Start there in verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Jump down to verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You know what the worst thing about being deceived is? You don't know it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know it. You don't even realize it. And you turn on the television today, or you turn on the radio, or whatever medium you might look through, and you see this fellow up there, and man, he's just getting it, and he actually thinks he's telling the truth.
That's right. You're right. He does.
But when you match him up to the Word of God, he's lying.
Not even close. Yep.
It ain't true.
That's right.
It ain't real. Extra-biblical preaching, if you will. Thank God, amen, that in us dwells the truth.
Yeah, amen, brother.
When we're saved.
That's right.
Back in John 14, he said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth and bring all things to your remembrance." He's faithful at it.
That's right. Yes, sir. Sure is.
He's going to bring it to your remembrance. Now listen, he can't bring it to your remembrance if it's not in there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's good, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So what do? Those things you just heard about reading, amen, and I'm not going to re-preach his message. Doing those things, amen, there's memories. I got that song, Precious Memories, I sing quite a bit from time to time. And precious, there's nothing wrong with precious memories.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And listen, you got a memory. If you read that book, I got news for you. It's burned on the film. Mm-hmm. You ever been out witnessing somebody and all of a sudden you just quoted them? Sometimes maybe an entire passage of scripture, yep, and wonder where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
You never sat down and tried to memorize it?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. Every verse I've ever sat down and tried to memorize, I can't even quote you tonight. I don't even know what they are.
Sure.
But all the time I'm quoting verses,
mm-hmm,
and I go back and check them and they're word for word, mm-hmm, and I never one time sat down to memorize them.
Hmm.
An old Canadian preacher who's dead now said this. He said the best plan for memorization is saturation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Stay in the book.
Yep.
You want that book to get in you, you got to stay in that book. And then when you need it, that's when God says, "Here you go."
Yep, here.
Here's the gas you need right now. Amen, for the tank. Here's the verse you need. Here's the dart you need. Here's the arrow you need. Here's the hammer you need. Just like that. Why? Because you've been faithful in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It said this, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them."
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
I'm going to preach tonight on continue thou in some things. But I want to draw special attention while Brother Dale was preaching. The Lord drew my attention. The three words, knowing of whom. I've heard Brother McVeigh's testimony, and I cannot recall the man's name that was his first pastor there. Herbert. Brother Herbert. Say, where did he learn? Where did he get? He learned it from Brother Herbert.
Yeah, that's right, bro. Yeah, so.
Knowing of whom. Do you know what Brother Herbert was? He was a faithful man. Am I telling the truth?
That's exactly right.
He was a faithful man. And what was he doing? Training faithful men. I believe it says in 2 Timothy 2:2 that we're supposed to do that.
That's right.
Faithful men training faithful men. And I've given the man's name many times over, but Brother Carl Gibbs was my first pastor. Brother Carl Gibbs is about, he must be 86 by now. He was 85 last year about this time, so he's got to be 86. Amen.
Amen.
He's still alive. I haven't heard that he passed. He's still going out and preaching. Amen. Still getting up, and I mean, just letting it happen, dropping the hammer. But you know, you have to remember something, Brother Dale. The things you've learned, you didn't learn them all on your own.
You're right.
Where did you learn faithfulness?
Yeah.
You had an example.
That's right.
Knowing of whom, and listen to me, amen, we stand in judgment one day at the judgment seat of Christ, and I believe the Lord's going to bring up those, amen, those witnesses, and they'll be a witness at that day, especially if we've been unfaithful and say, hey, right here was the example you had.
That's right.
You didn't follow it.
That's right.
Hey, right here is the faithful man. Here is the faithful woman. Here is the aged woman, Brother Tim, that gave you an example and tried to encourage you in holiness. You didn't follow it. Whoa, wouldn't that be something?
Oh, brother.
Hey, listen, I believe with all my heart we are going to be witnesses at the great white throne. Mm. And the Lord's going to say right here, on this date, this hour, this time, Dale Morey witnessed to you and you didn't pay attention. On this date, this hour, and this time, Tim McVeigh preached to you, and you didn't pay attention. You didn't listen. Mm-mm. And now I want you to know, because you know, they're going to be without excuse, the book says.
That's right.
And you know how it is, man. Remember how it was when we was kids? And you got caught? What'd you do?
Yeah.
Everyone made excuse.
That's right.
So when the excuses start flying, Lord just say, hey, McVeigh, come here a minute. Did you preach? Was this guy there, and did you preach? And this was the message. Yes, Lord. He turned back to him. Why didn't you do something with it? Why didn't you receive the message?
That's right.
It's not going to be a great hallelujah time, amen?
No, it's not.
Knowing of whom faithful men have gone before us. Amen. Don Green, my hero. Faithful man.
Yeah.
87 years old. I just heard him preach last week. And brother, I'm telling you what, I've never heard the old man preach with more fire in my life. I watched him get up a couple years back, and he was just so feeble, just barely kind of clinging to the pulpit. And this time, I believe if he'd have been 20 years younger, he'd have run a lap. Because he got to preaching on that thing of consecration and what it's done for his life. And brother, Tim, I watched him kick up a heel about that far off the ground and go, woo! Woo! Yes! Yeah! And boy, just start shouting.
Amen. Yeah.
87 years old. And I probably quenched the spirit because I didn't run a lap, but again, I didn't want him to have to dial 911. Amen.
Yeah, right.
Knowing of whom, thou's, Don Green has taught us more about holiness than anybody I know. That's the holiest man of God that I know. And it's not to exalt him or lift him up.
Sure.
It's just that he is. And men like Earl Hughes, you've heard him mentioned, I've mentioned him, Brother McVeigh has mentioned him. The things that I learned from Earl Hughes. Amen. The common sense things I learned from Earl Hughes. He had more common sense than common sense. I mean, that guy's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he had such wit, he'd say just a couple, three words, and that's all you needed. He was a man of few words a lot of times. And men like Jack Wood. Jack Wood really taught me that it's okay to be a man and be a preacher. It's okay to be all man. Amen. Now, I wouldn't duplicate some of the things Brother Jack did, but he taught me it's all right to be a man and be a Christian.
Amen.
He taught me you don't have to be a wimp to be a Christian.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
You better be a man.
You better.
Jesus Christ was a man.
Right. Right.
John the Baptist, it said, was a man
sure
sent from God.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a sissy.
Right.
He didn't have lace on his drawers.
Sure did.
Right.
He wasn't looking to change and become a female.
Nope.
He was all man.
All man.
All the way. Amen?
Yep.
And these things that we've learned, amen, we've learned them. Watch. Now he's telling Timothy, continue now in those things. Continue. Why? Because Jack Wood's off the scene. And there's not another Jack Wood ever going to come down the pike. Is Brother Herbert still alive?
Yes, sir. Thank God.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. But there's other men, amen, that are, they passed off the scene.
Yeah.
They're no longer with us. Carl Lackey, I sat under Carl Lackey's preaching a few times. Amen. There's never going to be another one like him. And I'm telling you, he taught me some things. Some other men. You've heard Brother John talk about Billy Randall. Billy Randall's no longer around. Mm-hmm. Amen. But what can happen? Hey, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
I see it.
That's good, brother. Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many times this happened to me. But I'll get to Molly again. Brother Jack was so good at it. I get the Molly Grubbs, I get the feeling sorry for myself, you know, it's bad, I've been treated bad or whatever, something's gone wrong or whatever. You know how it is. And I can see Brother Jack looking over the portals of glory going, shut up, boy, suck it up. Amen.
Amen.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody down along the line, I didn't have it from a child. Some of you have.
That's right.
You know, you got more to be accountable as a young man than I did. Because you were given much.
That's right.
Those of you being raised, Luke,
yep.
Autumn, you've been given much. God gave you a mommy and a daddy that are saved now, trying to bring you up in the nursing admonition of the Lord. Watch out. Be careful. Careful. Do right. Why? Because we owe it to them. I owe a great debt to Jack Wood. I owe a great debt to Don Green. I owe a great debt to Carl Gibbs. Amen. These men that mentored me along the way. I owe a great debt to Dr. Greg Estep.
Yeah. Amen.
Dr. Greg Estep taught me how to understand my Bible.
That's good, brother.
Completely. I know you don't have all the answers. Nobody does. You taught me what rightly dividing was all about.
Amen.
You taught me that it's more than just paper and paper and black words on white paper.
Sure it is. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to preach on continue thou on some things. First off, look at verse 3, same chapter. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 1. Verse 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. That's not it. Where'd it go? It's 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. I knew something wasn't right. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1. No, I got it backwards. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I'll get it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm on scratch.
Help
amen.
Him, Lord. Help.
And yep. Print it with a computer. Amen.
Yes.
Says this, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine.
That's right.
Continue in the doctrine that established you. All this garbage floating around out there that's in the name of God, it ain't all God.
No, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
You heard Brother Dale say when they go out on vacation or whatever, they go to church and they don't go to Pentecostal church. I wouldn't either unless I was looking for a freak show.
Yeah.
I'm going to go where I know I'm going to get fed.
Amen.
I'm going to go where I know the doctrine is biblical.
Yeah.
And it's rightly divided. And it's correct. Amen. And listen to me. There's been some times I've stopped in and the preacher was not a dynamic preacher.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was not eloquent with words. But he had the old-time touch of God on him, Brother Tim.
Amen.
And he'd stand there, amen, and from the depths of his soul, he'd preach the Word of God, and man, it just grip you.
That's good.
Continue thou in the doctrine that established you. We don't need a bunch of new doctrines.
No, we don't.
Amen. The ones, amen, we were established in still work.
Yes, they do.
This book still does the job.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to go to the NIV or the ASV or the TEV or TV, amen, or the KJV 2000 and whatever it is now, amen. Listen, the old KJV 1611 still does what it's always done. And there's only been one throughout history that ever brought the revivals that this one brought.
That's right.
None of the modern versions, none of them, ever brought revival.
Sure didn't, brother.
Never.
Still ain't.
Stick with the doctrine that established you. It still works. It doesn't need to be revised.
No way.
It doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread.
Yes, it's good, brother.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, O son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I'm telling you, the doctrines you've been taught are for your good, so you can war a good warfare.
Amen, brother. Yep.
So you can be faithful, just like you just heard preached.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
All this foo-foo doctrine stuff doesn't encourage anybody to be faithful.
It does not.
You want to find some of the, and I don't encourage it, but I'll tell you, if you want to find some of the worst sinful practices, go in some of these churches with false doctrine.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
Yep. Amen, bro.
I'm not going to name any names. I won't name any churches. But there's a certain group that seem to get wrapped up in the evils of adultery more than others. And they quote unquote call themselves Christians. Why? How could that happen? Their doctrine's fouled up.
That's right. Right. Yes, sir.
You get sound doctrine drilled into you for all of your life and you get to be about 30 years old. Amen. The temptation comes along. I tell you what you're going to hear. You're going to hear some guy with a bony finger, and you're going to see the bony finger pointing at you saying, "Get away from it! Run, boy! Run! Run!"
Amen.
Why? Because the foundation was sound doctrine.
Yeah.
That's it, brother. Yes, sir.
And sound doctrine is more than just rightly dividing.
That's right.
It's sound living. Amen. Continue thou in the doctrine that established you in the faith. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Anybody here want to be shipwrecked?
Mm-mm.
Not me.
No, sir.
I don't even like being car wrecked, amen.
No, sir. No.
That's right.
Let alone being shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then Paul goes on and names them, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. What happened? They got shipwrecked and then they blasphemed God.
Oh, boy.
But they'll mention testimony. One thing we cannot afford to lose.
That's right.
Is our testimony.
Yes, sir.
You
better believe it.
Who would we damn to hell if we lose?
That's right, brother.
Our testimony. Yes, and all it takes.
There it is.
Is one little act.
That's it.
That's right, brother.
Yes, sir, brother. Yep.
I mean, you know, what would it be if I started walking down the street, down the main road in Black Creek? Can't even call it Main Street. It's just the main road.
Yeah.
If I go strolling down the main road there in Black Creek, boom.
That's right. Yeah.
On a stogie.
Mm-hmm.
Or you see me strolling down the lane there with some babe under my arm.
Yeah.
And it's not my wife.
Not your wife, yeah.
Right.
You're going to listen to me next time I preach, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't even going to show up next time I preach.
That's right.
God, amen. And if I'm blessed, God would kill me before, amen, I ever had to preach again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that's right.
Advice.
You're right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm serious about this thing.
Yes, sir.
I went to my pastor, Dr. Greg Estep, when he was my pastor, before he had to retire for health, and he's preaching about this thing about being faithful and going on, and I said, but preacher, I said, you know, and some of my guys that I looked up to had got into sin, got out, got messed, made a big mess, and I said, preacher, how do I know? How do I keep doing that? I don't want to do that. And I said, preacher, you know, you just said that it's possible to make it to the end and know it. And I said, how about, what happened if I do that? He said, well, how serious are you? And I said, well, preacher, I've already asked God that if I'm going to do something so stupid
take me out
as to put a black mark on his name, kill me before I do it. Because I don't want to leave a black mark.
That's
the name of Jesus Christ
Amen.
To this world. No. He looked at me and said, you'll be all right. He said, you believe God? I said, yeah. He said, you believe God answers prayer? I said, yeah. He said, okay, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Why? Because you believe that God would kill you. Amen. I'd hope he would. This thing is serious.
Yes, it is.
To continue. You know, we've gotten down the track so far now that it's when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's not the time's coming.
No.
Now they just won't do it. People get in a good church and it just blows my mind.
Well, the preacher didn't say it right.
You gotta be kidding me.
That's right.
I don't like his delivery.
Yeah.
Hey man, have you ever seen some ugly pizza guys? You ate their pizza, didn't you?
That's good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you ever seen some guys show up and it's like you're pretty sure they're a candidate for Foo Foo magazine?
What?
And they're delivering pizza? Amen. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But you ate his pizza, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I don't like the way the pizza is delivered. It just stinks.
Is it the Word of God?
Yeah, right, brother.
We've all got our little quirks, amen.
Sure we do.
I was going to say something you were saying about how Brother John had picked up some mannerisms of Billy Randall. You watch Brother John when he preaches, you can see Sammy Allen in there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
A lot. Am I telling the truth, Ms. Yeah. Ruthann? Mm-hmm. He drove Sammy around for about, what, 2 years, whatever?
Wow.
Good while.
Yeah.
And you watch him when he goes... That's Sammy Allen, amen? Yeah. Sure enough.
It sure is,
yeah. Hey, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this, amen. It doesn't matter how you deliver it. I'll never forget the first message I preached in a nursing home. My wife recorded it for me. And I listened to that message, Brother Tim. And when I got about 10 minutes into it, I said, that ain't me. That's my pastor. I had all of his colloquialisms, all his little sayings, amen. I even had his mannerisms. I never forget one thing he used to say. Well, preacher, I can't tithe. He said, but you got your lucky camel fields, didn't you? Amen.
Yeah.
And I remember quoting it in that message and hearing it and say, oh, that's my pastor.
Yeah.
But you got to start somewhere.
That's right.
Amen. Just like I told him, I'm going to borrow some of your faith. And I did. And then God gave me my own.
Good, brother.
But today, folks don't want to borrow no faith. Today, they want to pick it apart. Today, they want to look at it critical. And Paul's telling Timothy, continue thou in the things that made you what you are. Continue thou in that sound doctrine. The doctrine that established you. 2 Timothy 4:4 said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
That's right.
Another place the Bible calls them cunningly devised. Amen.
Right.
Stories with no scriptural basis.
That's right.
I couldn't imagine standing up here and preaching fables.
That's right.
I mean, from the day I've been saved, I've listened to old men of God older than me preach the truth.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
I didn't have to unlearn anything, Brother Dale.
Amen, brother.
Thank God, man. I wasn't a religious man when I got saved. That's what I told God that night. I'm not a religious man. I'm not a praying man. It's good I wasn't religious, but Tim, I didn't have to unlearn nothing.
That's good, brother.
God just put me in a book where an old man of God with leather lungs would cry over his people and spit over about four rows, amen, and get red in the face and just pound the Bible, amen. Yep. But when he was pounding the Bible, he was pounding it into me.
Amen. Amen. Thank God.
Continue thou. In the doctrine that establishes you in faith. Secondly, continue thou. And Brother Dale's already mentioned this, so I'm just going to hit it and go on. But continue thou in the divine word of God. Every word of God is pure.
That's right. That's what it says, bro.
Amen. Listen, if it works, stick with it.
Right.
And consider those that went before you. How'd they get as far as they got? They went there with a King James Bible. You know, sure. I know you've heard the old story, well, it's good enough for Granny, it's good enough for me. Well, if it's good enough for Carl Gibbs, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for Don Green, it's good enough for me. Amen. Why? Because considering them, hey, the book did all right by them.
That's right.
And it's still pure today. It hasn't changed. Amen.
Right.
Hey, listen. This is, amen, the living word right here. Hey, you know what? This book can get in amongst all the filth and still come out clean.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Jesus, you heard this morning Brother John preaching about that high priest and how he could take the sin. That book there can eat up all the rest of them and still be unscathed. Because it is God in written form. Whoa, I know. Some people, oh, you worship in the book. You're right. Go ahead. Call me guilty.
That's right.
That's it.
Thank you, Lord. Yep, thank you.
If it wasn't for that book, my family, that woman wouldn't be sitting right there.
That's right, brother. Tonight. Yes, sir. Yep.
If it wasn't for that book, this book right here, yes, amen, sir. My children wouldn't be where they are.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank God. Continue thou in the divine word of God. When something's pure, leave it alone.
Amen.
You can't improve on purity. You can't. I mean, what's better than purity? Man, I'm telling you, you ever been out in the middle of the woods and maybe come out into a big field in the backside of nowhere where nobody lives and snow on the ground? I have. Back in the day, I rode a snowmobile and I've covered about every ridge between here, amen, and Houghton, and all the way down into Cowdersport and back across the hill. I mean, we rode them all. Mm-hmm. Well, we got into places back in them woods where nobody'd ever been. And you look out across that field, and it's just pure white. And I always had this thing about, I had to go make some tracks with, you know. But pure white. How can you improve on purity? You can. If the words of the Lord are pure words, you can improve on it.
Try.
Why try? Why bother? Amen. Continue thou in the pure, divine word of God. And Paul said this in 1 Timothy 4:13. Brother Dale hit on it. He said, till I come, give attention to reading.
That's right.
Reading. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Again, he's going to bring all things to your remembrance, but if it's not in there,
yeah,
you can't do it.
That's right, right, brother. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Read it. How much do I read? I know you're waiting for the program, right? You're waiting for the list so you can check it off, right? Read it till it melts your heart.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Read it till it makes a difference.
Yes, sir.
And then keep rereading it because it'll make a difference,
yes,
tomorrow.
Yes, it will.
Too.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thirdly, continue thou with the dynamic that's always done the job. You've heard much on it earlier in the week about the power of God.
Yes, sir.
Power of God's still the only thing that'll get the job done.
Amen.
And I've noticed over the years, friends of mine that were dear, dear, dear friends, once had thriving ministries, once had blessed lives, you stray from that old-time power of God. I don't care if it's just your daily life. See, we get this idea that it's just for the preaching. It's just for church that we need the power
right.
of God.
You're right, brother.
We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. But you go back and study Bezalel. I can't remember exactly where he's at. But you go back and study Bezalel and all those guys that he trained and worked with. And the Bible says God filled them with the, capital S, Spirit.
Right.
And with that came the wisdom and the knowledge to do the work God had commissioned them to do.
That's it.
Check it out. It's not just for the preacher.
That's right.
It's not just for the song leader.
That's right.
It's not just for coming to church. It's for working down at the cookie factory, Brother Chris.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Why? Because them folks down there need to see there's something real that they ain't got.
That's right, brother. Yep.
Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered a bunch of folks. He said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Acts 4:7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? They know, man. They know when supernatural things happen, they know you didn't do it. Anybody ever seen anything supernatural happen around you? Continue with the power. Continue with that dynamic that has always done the job and still will. I see these churches, amen, and they're first off, amen, and you know, they start out their King James Bible there, so, you know, they wouldn't dare mess with the book yet. But here's what they do, Brother Tim. They kick out the piano, and they bring in an 8-foot-long electrified keyboard. And then they got some guy up there, he's not wearing a tie anymore. In fact, he's not even wearing dress clothes. He's not coming for the glory of God or trying to, you know, please God by the way he's dressed. He might even be standing there in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, ain't that something?
You know, with Motley Crue on it or something. Listen, I have been, amen, the church my wife got saved in, I have been in the associate pastor's office some time back. I haven't been here in a long time. They won't ask me back, and I don't care. I'm not going back. But hanging on the wall with him in the associate pastor's office, it was an electric guitar. Signed by none other than Gene Simmons.
Oh, boy.
You know who he is? Anybody don't know who Gene Simmons is? Thank God you don't.
Yeah. That's good, brother. Yeah.
He was a lead singer in a group called KISS.
Oh.
You know what KISS stands for, right? And it ain't...
No.
Kings and Satan service.
Kings and Satan service.
The lead, and you're going to put it on your wall as the associate pastor and lead young people?
Yeah.
And then you're going to get up at this big, long, electrified thing, and you're going to go, Jesus just all right with me. Jesus just all right with me. That's not the question.
Yeah, right.
Are you all right with him?
Yeah, right, brother.
I hate it.
Yes, sir, brother. Yep.
So they throw the music out first because they wouldn't dare, because for years we stood for the King James Bible. Throw the music out first, and then the deacons start coming to you and saying, preacher, you're getting too narrow-minded. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. Right up here in Rochester, it happened.
Yeah.
Preacher, you make one more thump on that King James Bible, and you're out of here. Been me, I said, goodbye. I'm out of here now.
Yeah. Amen.
But you see, he had already let down the standard when he started letting the music in.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
You're right, brother. Yes,
continue thou.
Yes.
Continue thou.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some old people in there. Well, you know, I just been here for 40 years, you know, and why are you still there? Well, you know, I'm the janitor. So you're there because they give you a paycheck, huh?
That's exactly right.
Hireling?
Yeah, buddy. Yep.
Dangerous.
Continue thou with the dynamic, the power.
Thank you, Lord.
It's yes. Always done the job.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
How many folks you see becoming new creatures around that modern garden?
Oh, I'm telling right. You, brother.
I'm telling you. Look, check it out.
That's right.
Really, truly become new creatures in that's Christ
right.
Jesus.
That's right. Yes, sir. Don't happen, brother.
Amen.
Modern slop.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
How many of y'all would just love to walk up to the hog trough and dip your head in and just bury your face till you got a belly full? What they're doing.
That's right.
That's what they're doing.
Sad. Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:5 puts it this way. Having a form of godliness, but denying. I said denying. The Bible said denying the power thereof.
That's right.
There's something about this book preached.
Oh, yes.
And like I said, the pastor preaching it, the preacher preaching it, he does not have to be eloquent.
That's right.
That book has power. Where the word of the King is, there is power.
Yes, thank you.
I stood up before. I was in a meeting back, oh, it's been, the pastor's even, he's dead and in glory now. He's a dear friend of mine, former Marine from Vietnam, and he got Agent Orange and all that and died. But I went there back in 1988 or 89 early, down near Morganton, North Carolina. I got up and I said, man, I was all set. Well, the night before, Brother Dale, I'm in that little prophet's room in the back, much like you have here, had a little single bed in there. And God was giving me a message on the breath of God. And man, I'm, oh, man. And you're talking about a church, brother. They take the hymn books and woohoo, and slide them down the aisle. They grab their tithes and they woohoo, glory, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I said, man, oh, when I preach it, they are going to be swinging off the chandeliers, man. This one's going to preach. Got up that morning, I was all fired up. I'm ready to go. I got my outline. I got it all together. Man, just turn me loose, man. Let me preach to this crowd. Brother Dale, I sit about where you are in that. It's just a little small church, just like that. And I'm sitting back there, and
It's winding down. I mean, the ties have come off for the song service. Amen. The songbook went, one went sliding by me down the aisle. One guy did a backflip, man. Woohoo! You know, I think, whoa, man. They are pumped. They are primed. This message is going to get them. And I knew the preacher's just about to say, come on ahead, Brother Cliff. And the Holy Ghost said, close your Bible. I mean, I got my Bible open. I got my notebook open. I got them folded like that. So all I got to do is go, and there it is. And I'm going, yahoo, man, I'm going to give it to him. And the Holy Ghost said, close your Bible. I hear you, Lord. And then the preacher said, okay, Brother Cliff, come on, you're on. I stepped out in the aisle, and I mean, I did a stutter step. Like, I told you, close your Bible. Now, I'm, and the preacher said, come on, get up there, Brother Cliff, get up there. I said, I'm coming. I get up there, got my Bible there. I opened it. That ain't what the Holy Ghost said, do. I opened my Bible, I opened my notebook, and I tried to give a little introduction, and I tried to say something, and I felt like it was going to... I looked out at the pastor who was sitting in the front row right here, and I said, preacher, I'm honest before God, I've never had this happen. God just told me to close my Bible and close my notebook. He said, my God, brother, my God. So I'm trying, please pray for me. And I closed my Bible. I closed my notebook. And I stood there, and I said, you know, I'm thinking, what am I going to say? What do I do now? God, that was my message. And the Holy Ghost said, yeah, that was your message.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
And the Holy Ghost spoke to me just as plain as I knew my name and said, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm telling you, it's not in, amen, all the food and all the planning. It's in the power of God.
That's right, bro. I'm telling you. Yes,
and I stood there. And I quoted, I didn't even open a Bible, I quoted Romans 12, 1 and 2. And as I said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, people started getting up. By the mercies of God, they're getting up over here. That ye present your bodies, and people are coming forth. A living sacrifice. And when I got done with verse 2, there was not a soul left in the pew. All I did was quote two verses. And over here on my right, I hear some guy going, oh, God, yeah, well, thank you, Lord. What's going on over there? And the preacher's sitting there saying, you got him, brother, you got him. I said, I ain't got nothing. I don't even know what's happening.
That's right, brother. Thank God.
And over here, man, I hear somebody, oh, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, God. A 17-year-old teenage boy got saved right there at the altar.
There's something, bro.
Over here, the guy that was thanking God and just crying away stands up and he comes up and hugs my neck and says, thank you, preacher. You delivered the message. I said, all I did was read two verses. Quote two verses. I didn't even read them. I said, man, I didn't do nothing. And he said, God's been dealing with me about being a missionary. He said, this morning, I surrendered my life at that altar to be a missionary to the country of Australia. That man's been in Australia now for 30 years.
Wow.
Almost. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, continue thou with that old time dynamic that's always done the job and still will.
That's right.
The power of God. Continue.
Thank you, Lord.
Seek it. Long for it.
Yes.
Lust after it.
Yep.
Amen. Beg God for it.
Thank you, Lord.
For your daily life, not just for those times when you witness or you get an opportunity to preach.
That's continue. Good,
don't have the form of godliness. Welcome to God's house. Today we're going to worship the Lord. A form of godliness.
Hey. Very scary place, boy.
But denying the power.
That's what they do.
And then they got the song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. walk out the door and live like hell.
Yes, they do, brother. Yep.
Tell the truth.
Yep, preach
no power.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
You need the power of God just as much as the pastor does.
Sure, yes.
Hey. Just as much as the song leader does. Just as much as the apostle Paul did.
Yep.
Without it, you are nothing.
Hey.
And lastly, continue thou in doing right. It's still right to do right. It's still right. I remember when I was a boy, man, my dad was he was a county drunk. But still, he gave somebody his word.
Right.
You can bank on it.
That's good.
He's going to do it. If it hurt him, he was going to do it. What does that say about he that sweareth to his own hurt?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times that verse has come to my mind. I watched my drunken daddy keep his word more than I've seen. A lot of preachers keep their word.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians keep their word.
Oh, yeah.
Continue that. He said, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Unto godliness. You know what godliness is? There's a crowd of people. They've got the standards. They've got everything right. They've got all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. And they wouldn't be caught dead in a pair of shorts. Or a pair of slacks if it was a lady. But they're about as godly as a dead duck. They stink.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 8 there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Look at verse 7. And we'll get the context when verse 8. But refuse profane old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. You want to be profitable? Continue in godliness. What's godliness? Great was the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I believe we heard that read or quoted just a while back. God, the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Let me ask you a question, and please don't think I'm trying to elevate man in any way with what I'm about to say. I'm not. You'll get the point. If God was manifest in the flesh once and died, and amen, was justified in spirit and all that, I said, how is he going to be manifested in the flesh today? He's not going to appear in some 90-foot statue at your bed. If he does, don't get up. Crawl under the bed, amen. How's God manifest himself today to the world, to the lost world who doesn't read the Bible? He manifests himself through you and me. How are they going to see God if we don't allow God to work through us? How are they going to know that God's real if they don't see it somehow? I understand faith comes by hearing. I know all the doctrinal implications. But I said it before and I'll say it again. You are the only God some people are ever going to see.
I believe it.
Right.
How much do they see?
Mm-hmm.
It's important to exercise yourself rather than God. If God was manifest in the flesh, you know what he's done today? He still manifests himself through our flesh. Those good deeds, those things you're doing, amen, that obey the book, those things they see in you that are different than them.
Yeah.
Who do you think that is manifesting at that day? It's not you.
That's
right.
It's that power of God.
Yes, sir.
Then check this out. This guy's got something you ain't got.
That's right.
This guy's real. This guy knows where he's going. How about you? Amen. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And if you want to compare 1 Timothy 3:16 and Leviticus 11:44, you'll come up with a real clear definition of godliness, even deeper than what I just gave. Continue thou in doing right. It's still right to do right.
Yeah.
What did Bob Jones Sr. say? Do right though the stars fall, do right. And then from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It's scriptures which are able to make me wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Why aren't we seeing good works in a lot of folks that profess salvation today? They're more interested in exercising themselves rather than exercising godliness. They've got a form of godliness. Perhaps they go to church on Sunday. They go to church on Wednesday night. We heard about Bill Dale talking about that, being faithful. That's what we ought to be. But it's more. Amen.
Yes, it is.
Continue thou in doing right. Amen.
Amen.
Continue thou in doing right.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
Man, when they see you treat them like Jesus would treat them, you know, getting down in the ditch where they are.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you got dirty? Helping a lost person out. Helping a neighbor out. I know the preacher would. He's sitting back there, and I'm not picking. I'm just telling you, I know you would. I've seen him do it. I've seen him reach in and pull money out. He's reached in and pulled money out of his pocket, handed to me, and he didn't even know what I needed, exactly what I needed. He probably didn't have it to do in the first place. He said, God told me to do this. Doing right. You know what? The old way still works. The old book still works. The old songs still work.
That's right.
The old time power of God still gets the job done.
Amen, bro.
Why would you want to change it?
Right.
Yep.
Why would you want to try something else?
Not me.
You know, I told you about driving that Lincoln and having the transmission go and my buddy taking us into a Ford dealer, and my wife and I both said, oh Lord, and I didn't know she prayed. She didn't know I prayed. Oh Lord, please don't make us buy another Ford. Why? It let us down. You know, I've never been let down one time by that.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. I've never been let down one time by the old time power of God. I've never been let down one time by sound doctrine. And I've never been let down one time by just doing right.
That's good, brother.
God always vindicates you when you do right. Always. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. My brain just went dead.
By the renewing
of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Continue down the will of God. God will vindicate you.
Yes.
You just do what God told you to do.
Eight.
Oh, but I'm going to look like a nut.
Eight.
Just remember, you're on the right boat.
That's right.
Every time, Brother Dale, I've had to change directions in my ministry four times in my Christian life. I mean, completely change.
Sure.
Because God said, you're finished here, I need you over here. Hard thing to do, man. The hardest thing I ever had to do was not go back to New Guinea. And then I had to write those who supported me and tell them I wasn't going back. And I wasn't sure what God was up to. So I lost 90% of my support. And Brother Tim, it went around the country that I'd ran off with another man's wife. And he got back to me.
Yeah.
And I had friends. I mean, friends who dropped me like a hot potato. And I didn't listen. I'm not knocking them. I told them. I said, listen, how can I expect you to support me when I don't even know what God's doing? But I'm trying to obey God. I'm just trying to follow God here. And you know what happened? We went and did what God told us to do. And people started hearing that, hey, man, Cliff took his whole family to the Philippines. He didn't have a dime in his pocket. God paid every bill. And 2,500 people got saved. And there's a little church now on an island that wouldn't have been there if Cliff hadn't have gone. And then this fellow, he starts telling stories, and he started hearing the fruit. You see, the Holy Ghost always bears fruit when you do what he told you to do. And that's what they see. They start seeing him, and one by one, they didn't all, because some of them are gone now and went off the deep end, but some of my dearest friends that had dropped me picked me back up for support. Said, listen, I was wrong. You were just trying to follow God, and I let you down. Forgive me.
Oh, brother.
No problem. You are forgiven, man. I mean, what is there to forgive? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, if you will do what God said do, He will vindicate you. Continue thine things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You do what He said do, and it'll come out right. And it'll be a testimony of the power of God.
Yes, sir.
The word of God. The will of God. The work of God. And just the goodness of God.
Father,